Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, host for your deadly program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. I'd like to acknowledge our traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have your say, and yarn up strong. All right, now Jute Theatre Company will launch its first Dare to Dream Tour of 2024 with a public performance of its Campfire Theatre, two-hander, I Got This Feeling. That's happening Friday, 3rd May in Cairns. We're going to catch up with Yarn, our First Nation actor from Short Scene, I Got This Feeling, Cheyenne Walker. And Cheyenne on the line. A very good morning, Cheyenne. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Sure. I'm a Gurang, Ngarrindjeri, Narunga, Kaurna, Sassy Islander woman from Bundaberg.
Yes.
And I'm here working in Cairns.
In Cairns, all right. Thank you. Fantastic. I Got This Feeling. I'm loving that. Talking from the gut, you know. Give us your background, your story first, sister. How you started in this space. Tell us your journey there, sis.
So I have a lot of artistic family members, and from a very young age, I've always been inspired by them. Mm. And one of them turned to me one day and said, "You should study theatre." Yes. And I was a bit hesitant. I was thinking, I'm a singer, not an actor. But
don't act, but you need to act.
Yeah, truly. I was just thinking, I'm not really sure if I'm cut out for acting. And then they were like, maybe just try a studying course and see how you go. And that was 4 years ago now. And since then, I've absolutely fallen in love with acting. Theatre is an inspiration to me. It's just so beautiful.
Good. Okay. And it becomes a mobile industry as such. You get to travel, don't you? So here you are in Cairns. Yep.
So from Cairns, my ensemble and myself, we will travel up north. We go to Cooktown, Pampara, Kawanyama, Croydon, and Mornington Island.
Yes.
And I have never been to any of those places before. So I am so excited, and I'm really, really looking forward to meeting the mob from all those places.
Yeah, fantastic. So you get paid to travel. That's what you do. Now, let's talk about I Got This Feeling. I'm loving the title there. We're talking about, from the gut and operating on your gut feelings and, you know, or having a bit of ooze about you, you know, ounce about you. Tell us about this particular program, this show.
So this show, it's a fantasy, magical take on how to identify the feelings that you got going on and how to react to them, respond, and how to work them out. So there's this young girl and she meets all these new, strange creatures and she learns that it's how she feels, and what's most important is making sure that she's safe and how to go about making yourself feel safe, or how to stand up for yourself, how to stay true to yourself and not let others dictate who you want to be and what you want to do. And there's witches, there's aqua creatures, there's a witch. It's just fantastic.
So they all paint a picture of someone living a life, but all the obstacles that come in their way, you know, and all the to and fro from the outside, so to speak. But staying strong to your beliefs and your core is what I'm picking up, Cheyenne.
That's exactly right. There's a lot of influences in today's world, and you can get real lost, and you can get taken astray. But you have the power. You hold the strength and will to do what you want to do. And little kids nowadays, you know, they're so brave and bold, and we just want to make sure that they know how to keep being brave and bold as they get older.
Yeah, fantastic. How many on stage at this? How many total on stage, Cheyenne?
Two of us.
Oh, two. Just two persons, yeah. Okay, thank you. And who's the your co-actor there?
My co-actor's name is Shani Hunter.
Shani Hunter, big shout out, Shani. Yep.
Shani Hunter, yep, she is very deadly. This is our first time working together. Okay. And from the first day of rehearsals, we just hit it off.
Of course.
She has a really great understanding of this play, as she's got a little one herself. So
yeah.
I feel like she can really resonate with the main character, who is a young girl.
Yes.
As she's got a young girl herself, and I think it's just beautiful that she gets to come into a space where she can learn more and teach more about, you know, young kids' safety and their imagination and creativity, what they can do with it.
Lovely. So big shout out, Charlie. Fantastic. So you're performing Friday 3rd of May here in Cairns. Is it just the one performance?
Yeah, just the one performance. Doors open up at 6 p.m., free event. I think there'll be some finger food and snacks and drinks. I got told there would be. So
okay, hopefully there is. This is all at the Jute Theatre. And after this performance, where do you take the fantastic show?
So our first stop-off is Cooktown.
Yes.
And there'll be a week's residency program there, workshop with the students.
Good.
A handful of students, no more than 20. And whichever students want to come, they come to learn about theatre. Mm-hmm. And they get more familiar with the existing programs that are already in their communities that promote safety and well-being for young people.
Fantastic. And then you're shooting up to Cape York, is that right?
Yeah.
Our
last stop off is Mornington Island.
So we
fly into an island there, which is pretty deadly.
Good. Yes. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing, and good luck with it all. I got this feeling, so I'm loving the title. Do enjoy the journey. And look, be the best you can be. And thank you for the yarn, Cheyenne. And we'll yarn soon, sister.
Thank you, my brother. You have a beautiful evening.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn, Cheyenne Walker, her name is. And Cheyenne, First Nation actor from short scene, I Got This Feeling. Now, they're performing here in Cairns Friday 3rd of May. So that's happening at the Jute Theatre. So do check it out online, Jute Theatre, and it's free entry. But finding when the performance, she did say 6 p.m., but look, worth seeing. And for young ones out there who inspiration to become an actor or just see how it all works, or even behind the scenes, the lighting and sound and all that sort of stuff, that's available as well. So, yeah, do check it out, Aspirations. Have you say, Yana Strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, and deadly number here, 1-800-422-416, with Trinity Treb, Murray from the Curry, your host for your deadly program, and that's National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Wasted all of those tears. You live in me. despair, just looking for an answer. But little did you know that it's just around the corner if you'll only let your heart play that tune. You can wipe away those tears. You can wipe away those fears. You can bring back all those years. Looking for someone to care when you're in need of repair. All you need to know with the strength you have inside, you're the only one that can pull you through.
Yeah, to Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Law of the Land was that daily track, Briscoe Sisters. Big shout out to our Briscoe Sisters. To Deadly, Cookie LNG Sisters. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the bully run, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yindindi country. BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation, thanks to NIRS, National Israeli Service. Now, First Nations anti-coal mine activist Marawa Johnson wins 2024 Goldman Environmental Prize, recipient of the 2024 Goldman Environmental Prize and co-director of Youth Verdict. We're going to have a chat now with Marawa Johnson. And how deadly is Marawa Johnson? Hello, Marawa, you there?
Yes, good morning. How are you all today?
I'm well. How are you going, sister?
That's good.
I'm good,
thank you.
I'm good, yes. Congratulations. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Great. So I'm Widi, Widi dialect, a part of the broader Birrugaba Nation, extending from just north of Townsville down to, halfway between south of Mackay, north of Rockhampton,
yes.
All the way out to Cliff and the Drummond Range. Also got connection to throughout all central Queensland to Emerald as well through my Kangalee side. And also want to acknowledge that I have Kalali, Manajali, Yemen and Bingambul bloodlines as well. So that's me a little bit. Thank you.
Yes. It's fruit salad. Congratulations. A big shout out to all your mob and a beautiful footprint there. My sister, congratulations. Recipient of 2024 Goldman Environmental Prize and co-director of Youth Verdict means how deadly are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm very, very lucky to work with the deadliest people who always support me and back me every step of the way, even though sometimes, especially when I'm working with, you know, non-Indigenous lawyers.
Yes.
It takes a little bit of time sometimes to yarn with them and sort of really get into the guts of, you know, this work that we're trying to do in sort of defending Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander cultural rights, especially
yes.
in the context of climate change. But this one goes out to everyone who has really supported me and backed me, and
good.
I want to dedicate this award as well to my father, who passed last year, but
okay.
was probably the most sort of significant inspiration for me in terms
yeah.
of motivated me into doing this work.
Yeah, so too deadly. And look, your father with you in spirit, and I'll be cheering for you. No worries about that. When you look at anti-coal mine, you're activist in regarding coal mines. How did it all start for you? And tell us the journey. And, I mean, you weren't doing this for any prize or recognition or any environmental prize. You were just fighting for our mob and fighting for our land, and here you are. So tell us the journey, sister.
Yeah, I will say it was a huge surprise because, to be honest, I didn't know that this award existed, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
And I was sort of nominated in secret, and everyone who was part of the nomination process supported my nomination, especially the part of the legal team that I worked with, like they'd known about the award and... Yeah, did very well to keep it from me over a couple of month period that sort of the selection process was happening. And in terms of my origin story, I guess I'd say, you know, growing up throughout the Bowen Basin on country, just south and out west of Mackay, really you're exposed to this industry. It's a cultural commitment, I think, by the, you know, general public. And so... you know, it's just really sort of that country being sacrificed and sort of being just sort of, I guess, denigrated to be only for exploitation.
Yes.
And the extraction of coal. I think growing up and seeing that from small, really, I could see the sort of heartache that it created for my family and for my dad, and created lots of sort of, you know, internal conflict within mob around our rights and interests and throughout the native title process. And so for me, it was just the, and also this area's, you know, a lot of sort of farmers who were like sixth generation. So their ancestors were part of, you know, the sort of hunting posses that massacred a lot of my people too. And so...
truth telling, sister.
That front line sort of experience, it doesn't go away, you know, it just gets inherited generation to generation. And I think, you know, from a small age, I was like, how come our mob never get anything but everyone else is sort of, you know, getting rich off of our country? And...
So was there a platform as such? Were there people, our mob, in the activist state, so to speak? Or did you join a posse or a team of people doing it, and lawyers came to the table? Or paint that picture, please, Marwa.
Yeah, so originally, so there was a joint claim where I'm more from the eastern side of country, for Wanga and Jagalingu. And then there was a giant Adani Carmichael coal mine that was proposed on Jagalingu country on the western side. And our people all came together, essentially, sat in council, our elders, outside of the native title process after we'd already voted no for an Indigenous land use agreement with the Adani, now called Bravis. In 2014, and we were like, you know, we know how this process works because they've been doing this to us for decades, where there's no actual sort of legal infrastructure where we can defend our rights. And so we decided to take it out of the native title process, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. I went along with my dad to a meeting, and one of my family members, who was another representative, you know, sort of understanding this sort of historical context that it's, you know, more often than not, we can't win in the court system, especially within the regime and the sort of limitations of the native title system. And so I think my auntie at the time, you know, it's hard to believe that this is going to be the one fight that changes things.
Yes.
And so a little bit disheartened, decided not to attend. I was in the right place at the right time, and some of the aunties who were elders in their 70s and 80s sort of recognised that there was a sort of spare seat at the table for a representative from my family, and I was sitting in the back corner.
How old were you at that time, sister?
I was just 19 at that time. Yeah, I'd just come back from doing an exchange, student exchange over in Japan for 1 year, trying to learn Japanese.
Yes.
And so I came back and I was in the right place at the right time, and the aunties said, oh, well, you know, we want to hear from young people, and there's a spare seat at for your family in terms of representative today. Do you want to come sit and yarn with us? And so I was invited to join the table. From that day on, this elders council was then sort of, I think, recognized to be more inclusive as a family council. And subsequently, 2 months later, the same aunties said, you know, we like how you're talking about climate change as a concern for sort of the younger generation, because the decisions that we make as the elders really, you know, we're not going to be around much longer to sort of have to live with those decisions. It's young people and future generations that actually have to inherit those decisions from us long time after we're gone. And so, I just have so much love and respect for sort of the people who've given me space and opportunity along the way, especially those aunties. And from there, I was asked to be a youth spokesperson and also sort of to even out our representation in sort of supporting my uncle, who was going to be our senior spokesperson. They really wanted to have a woman, I was just a young woman at the time, represent our people too, and give both sides of the, you know, our culture and our story, both the men and women, because it's about all of us together, really.
Exactly.
And especially when we're fighting for water, for Mundagara, for Rainbow Serpent, that, you know, it's about that water spirit and water dreaming. And for our country, it's the women who really carry that story as well. And so it kind of all sort of took off from there, I think, in the beginning of 2015. And from then, 8 years of long fought sort of Aboriginal rights and human rights battle against the Carmichael coal mine. Unfortunately, we're up against, you know, the powers that be, which include the state, the federal government, the Senate, parliamentarians, sort of the Attorney General at the time, George Brandis. And so we had a lot of powerful sort of enemies that were determined to continue limiting our rights.
So what was the outcome in regard to the fight? I mean, fight the good fight, and that's what you were doing. What was the outcome, sister?
Yeah, so we ran 6 court cases over the 8-year period of sort of the Wanganjagalingu Family Council as an entity sort of running that campaign. And we, well, on paper, we were defeated in each one, and again, that's because of the limitations of the Native Title sort of Act itself. But also, when we had won, according to the Native Title Act, the government, this is the 2017 Native Title Amendments, decided specifically at that point in time that they were going to introduce amendments that essentially undid our win. And so even when you do win in a system where it's impossible to win, they're always going to shift the goalposts. And it became really apparent for me that, you know, domestically we're very limited. So, you know, the natural next step really is about emphasising the international human rights sort of standards and working in sort of that space. And that's naturally, I guess, how I ended up as part of Youth Verdict, now one of the co-directors and also the First Nations lead campaigner. And I think that, you know, my work with my family council, a lot of young people from 19 years old don't get to work for their own mob. So I'm very blessed in
that sense. Exactly, you're doing that,
Look, and then I've been able to take those sort of, you know, those learnings and that experience, and also, you know, be motivated by, we don't want to sort of take the chance of losing again. So, right timing again, the Queensland Human Rights Act came into play in early 2020, and we've been able to use that to argue that not just that cultural rights, our cultural rights are human rights, but that our cultural rights and overall our human rights are sort of, they're going to be impacted by continued destruction of country, both the direct impacts but also the indirect impacts as well through climate change.
Yeah. Well, to our daily listeners that have just tuned in, I'm talking to Marwa Johnson, recipient of 2024 Gold Environmental Prize and co-director of Youth Verdict. My sister, with this prize, not only a trophy, but a bit of cash there as well, $228,000.
I didn't know it was that much.
Thank you. Sister, alone there, sister.
I feel like the young fella who just won that fishing contest.
Yeah, thank you. $1 million. I saw that, NT. Yeah, big shout out. But look, it is fantastic. It's a nice a gift, a nice prize. But the fight, that's what I'm talking about. You're born into a legacy of resistant fighters, sister.
Yeah, you know, if I wanted to, I could just kind of jump off the face of the earth and worry about myself. But again, I didn't start this work for, you know, the sort of recognition and awards that might come along with it. Again, I didn't even know that the Goldman Prize existed this time last year. But I'm so blessed that I'll be able to, you know, it allows me to do this work better because we're not spending half of our time fundraising, you know what I mean? And we get to sort of invest in our own work and really have that self-determination and autonomy around our work that isn't necessarily, beholden to financiers or sort of our funders in any way, and we get to sort of do this work really freely.
Yeah. So true. I will make mention of Richard and Rhonda Goldman, the annual prize founder by American philanthropists back in 1989. Her acknowledged grassroots environmentalists from the world's six regions, and it's worth more than $228,000. So there it is. That's the prize money in regard to the work that you're doing. But like I said, sister, legacy of resistant fighters, that's who you are. Standing up for your mob, standing up for country. And fighting the big dogs. We're talking about the mining companies, you know. So congratulations, my sister. Good yarning with you. And big shout out to your family and all the mob there. And look, we'll yarn soon, sis.
Too deadly. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the program this morning. And I just want to give a shout out to all the mob out there, you know, whatever's going on, especially I think some of us are still, dealing with the impacts of the cyclone that happened at the end of last year. And I'm based up on Dabbaga country up here in Kuranda, and, we are still dealing with the sort of impacts of the flooding that happened after the cyclone too. And so, shout out to all the mob that, you know, got community in mind. And, it's unfortunate that we have to go through this stuff and our communities are under-resourced to sort of deal with the adaptation that we need to do in terms of climate change, because these freak natural disasters are going to keep happening. But this is about, you know, uniting all the mob together again and sort of form one voice in defending our rights and our right to sort of be able to pass on our culture and our law and custom to the young ones.
Exactly. Pass it on. Storytellers. And when they're looking for life on planet Mars, sister, they need to look after this planet first, eh?
That's exactly right. There's no planet B. This is planet A. We're here, and, you know, we've survived many things as all this living culture, but we need to really, I think, you know, take an audit of sort of where we are at the moment and really all the mob get back together on one page and think about a unified way forward. Because it's becoming so clear now that Indigenous knowledge is the way to go, because we make up less than
50,000 years. Hello, like, professors in all fields, sister.
Exactly. Our knowledge is expertise. It's over 60,000 years old. It's intergenerational.
Yes.
It's observed country, but also I think it's something like 6% of the world's global population is, First Nations people all around the world, but we actually hold and protect over 80% of the world's biodiversity. So that alone just goes to show you how needed our ways and knowledges are in terms of maintaining Mother Earth for future generations.
Love it. Mara, you take care, my sister. All the best. Keep smiling. We'll yarn soon, sis.
Too deadly. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Take
what a morning, everyone.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Mara Johnson, her name is, recipient of 2024 Goldman Environmental Prize and co-director of Youth Verdict. And look, fantastic. Was born into a legacy of resistant fighters and fighting for people, fighting for a mob, fighting for country, fighting for her land, you know, tribal people against the big so-called mining companies of the world. And it's great to see. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Blue Mountain, Anarita Mills here on your daily program, National Talk Black, and Yana with the Bull Run here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. It's a 1 hour program, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji Country, BBM Bumber Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Now, speaking of Bumber Bipper, BBM, 98.7 FM, I'm going to have a chat now with a young sister who's just joined the crew, new crew member for Bumber Bipper Media, Rhiann Hansel. And a very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really good. And you?
I'm well. Welcome to the team. And before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yep. Proud Jabbergai Woman Radio, coming from Kuranda Mob, Richardson Snyders, but live here in Cairns.
Yeah, fantastic, sister. So you've joined the BBM crew.
Yep.
What sort of work are you looking at doing? And give us a bit of background. Who Rhiann Hansel is.
Okay, so I joined BBM only a couple of days ago. I'm looking at doing some radio work, some research. I'm doing a bit here. I'm doing a few different jobs, but it kind of, I'm talking on the radio is just helping, you know, my creativity, and while I'm not really performing right now, definitely helps my confidence and, you know, how to talk slowly so people can understand me.
Don't get too excited.
Yeah. who Rhianne Hensel is literally the sister we were just talking to before. Theatre, very big theatre lover right here.
Okay.
My thing is musical theatre. I want to be an actress when I start studying.
Watch this space.
Yeah, yeah. And cool. I'll ring back and be like, everyone listen to BBM when I'm all famous. Nah.
Thank you. Don't forget us. Don't forget
yeah,
us.
Yeah, no, I won't.
So about enjoying the journey. So we're talking about being on stage. If not being on stage, being in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Acting.
Yeah, yeah.
So you did a bit of theatrical work, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I'm proud Cairns High representative. I know you
yes,
are too.
Bulldogs
yep,
represent.
Up the Bulldogs. yeah, so that's probably where my passion for it started. You know Mary Poppins?
Yes.
I played Jane in that in Cairns High. I was in three of the musicals that they did there. All the drama COE shows, Estedford singing. Yeah, anything to do with on the stage, I was in it.
Yeah, good on yeah. you. Fantastic. And now you're here behind the mic and yep. behind the scenes.
That's it.
At Bummer Bipra. Look, that's fantastic. And so you're living in Corandra?
No. I'm living here in Cairns, Southside, Mum and Dad. Yep.
Okay, beautiful. Big shout out to Mum and Dad.
Big shout out to Mum and Dad. I hope, Mum, I hope you're listening right now.
You better be listening, Mum. Rhianne, thank you very much for joining us. And good to have you at the as one of the new crew members here at Bummer Bipra.
Yep.
And look, we're a deadly team here, and it's about embracing our young ones and giving them a platform to, well, hand a baton over is what we're talking about. So maybe you could be taking over this spot here as a host for National Talk Black Sister.
Ooh, who knows? Nah, I can't replace you. You're replaceable.
Yeah, shout him out, darling. It's about sharing the load. But good yarning with you. Thank you for coming and having a yarn. Get back to work, but enjoy your journey here. And if anything I can do to help or guide you, then, yeah, please call upon myself as well.
Yep, awesome. Thank you for having me.
Rhianne, keep smiling. Too deadly. All right, Deadly Yarn there with that Deadly Sister, new crew member, Bummer Bipra Media. Look, stay tuned, you mob. Deadly Yarn's here on National Talk Black and got news coming up via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So stay tuned and we'll be yarning soon. And don't forget our web page, BBM 98.7 FM. That's Facebook page as well. And you can also text the brother 0457140550. All ways of yarning with the Bully One. Too deadly.